You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Jenny Rockwell has represented Aotearoa at international poetry slams and gained a sizable following on social media for her poetry readings. Her debut collection, Vultures, is a coming-of-age story told in a Southern Gothic mode, following her personal journey from growing up in the church to embracing queer joy and defiant love. I spoke to Jenny about Vultures and her practice. So Vultures follows a personal journey from growing up in the church to embracing queer joy. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the running themes throughout this collection?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, Vultures, essentially it's about girlhood, and I always say it's kind of like a coming of age story, even though it's through poetry. It's loosely based on my own experiences of growing up in the church and coming out as queer and kind of all the themes that emerge through that. There's also a lot of themes of love and heartbreak throughout that, and sort of a reclaiming of oneself and one's God at the end.
Yeah, gorgeous. And so you grew up during doing slam poetry as well. Mm. You represented Aotearoa on the international stage. How has that kind of influenced your writing in this collection, particularly in your style and composition?
Yeah, so I think I write slightly differently for the page in comparison to for performance. I think when you know that you have the visual field to play with, it kind of opens up a whole new level of possibility in sort of the style that you use and the actual like composition of the words. That makes sense, because you know people are going to be seeing them visually, as opposed to when you're writing for performance, it's a lot more, I guess you just have that in mind when you're writing, and I definitely do. So I think it has been really interesting for me, sort of focusing more on the written form now, and also including a few original slam pieces in that book and kind of editing them to better suit the overall theme of the book. But yeah, it's definitely been a journey of exploring new styles and themes, but I've definitely really enjoyed it, and I think I'm going to focus on written for a while now because I really, really like it, yeah.
Mm, cool. And yeah, as you say, you've included and adapted some of the poetry you wrote for slam poetry. And this collection then, as a coming-of-age story, does it maybe have works that date back to when you were quite a bit younger? How has your writing style and practice changed and developed over time in that way?
Yeah, it does include poems from when I was as young as, or I think one of them I wrote when I was like 18 maybe, so quite a while ago now. But yeah, I think it was interesting. The reason I kept those few pieces in is because I still really resonate with them and like them, but also because there were pieces that people had expressed in the past had like meant a lot to them, and they had never had a physical version of them to hold in their hands. So I felt like I almost owed it to those people who had resonated with those pieces to keep them in the book, especially for my first book. So that was part of the reason that I kept a few of those pieces in. And also it did help, yeah, the narrative. A lot of those pieces kind of fall earlier in the book, and they really do reflect honestly how I was feeling at a younger age. And then I think if you read the book as a whole, you can kind of see how I go through that journey of sort of understanding the nuance and reckoning with that of, you know, both the pain that comes with growing up in a religious environment as a queer person, but also the beautiful parts. And I think I was more open to seeing the grey area as I got older, and I think that's reflected in the sort of order of the poems in the book.
Mm, totally. And this collection reflects some of your own experiences, of course, but what other influences inspire you in this work?
I was listening to a lot of music while I was writing it. I was thinking a lot about sort of the similarities between what I knew and understood of the Bible Belt in America in the South, and people's experience growing up there as a queer person, and then how that kind of could be emulated in a small town Aotearoa sort of setting. And so I think that, yeah, I think that was part of it when I was really thinking a lot about that while I was writing it. I was also looking at a lot of, or reading a lot of, sort of Southern Gothic-y poetry. But honestly, when I write, I don't read a lot. I think I like to just go through periods when I just read, and then periods where I just write. So when I was writing the book, I wasn't reading a lot. I was really sort of just going inwards and listening to a lot of music and just writing a lot, honestly, and that's kind of just what came out.
Totally. And I also really love how you're referencing a lot of quite iconic spots in Tāmaki. You're referencing Karangahape Road and the Simon Street Church. Is that right? Yes. Do you find that your environments that you're putting yourself in also inspire your work? I feel like it's really nice, particularly someone who's also from Tāmaki, to read poetry and be able to see yourself and see yourself in those environments as well throughout it. Is that like something that's been a part of this work as well?
Definitely, yeah. I'm super influenced and inspired by where I grew up in Tāmaki, and I think also I got given advice once a long time ago from a poet that I admired, and they said, you know, the more personal writing is, the more universal it can be. So I really resonated with that, and I find that a lot of the poetry that I really am drawn to and really love is poetry where they are super specific. They might include really niche or specific road names or shop names or names of people or whatever it is. And even though as the reader you don't know what they're talking about or you can't really resonate, it still makes it feel more personal. And in a way, it strangely kind of has the opposite effect where you do feel like closer to them and close, and you can then like kind of resonate with that in your own way and your own upbringing, if that kind of makes sense. So I think for me, having really personal details in there is partly because it's what inspires me and just what I know, but also partly a kind of technique thing where I feel like it does help to make it feel more honest and connect with the reader more. And also, I just love talking about Tāmaki Makaurau. I grew up here, and it's what I'm influenced by. So, yeah.
Totally. I really love that. And I definitely felt that kind of personal connection coming through when I was going through and reading a bit of it. Just lastly, I wanted to ask you maybe if you wanted to read one of the poems from the collection, maybe a personal favourite. Not that that's an easy choice to make, but would you like to do that?
Yes, sure. This poem is called My Dad Asks Me What Queer Joy Is. I think of how I wept that time in the brightly lit changing room, trying on the lacy bras, I side-eyed the boxer briefs. I think of the first girl, skin sun-soaked, vanilla and frangipani, how much I loathed myself for loving her, how they called these hands dirty for daring to love her, how even now I cannot flirt without being afraid of being predator. These hands curled milk creep, wolf in sheep mask, man on train with lingering eyes. How coming out to my best girlfriends was the hardest part. Terrified they would think me unsafe place. Each time they had gotten changed or slept in my bed, it is an unkempt labor of unlearning. Not to flinch when I hear the word lesbian. Both my partner and I had prepubescent pages of journals scratched with I am not a lesbian so many times till our palms rubbed red raw. We laugh about it now while clinging to one another under the covers, but in the sinking light, our eyes still shimmer wet. I think queer joy is the way it felt to come out to my dad, how he asked me right after if I wanted some Brazil nuts and told me the amount of magnesium they have, as if to say it's okay. We can still sit on the stoop drinking beer and eating blue corn chips as the sky slowly turns to pink and eat Brazil nuts from the Tatarangi bulk bins, and nothing has changed, really. When I was younger, I wanted to die rather than be gay. And now my girlfriend and my dad are shyly talking about their guitars and problems at work. And she is curled up on the deck overlooking the ocean, teaching my mum to play the accordion, and my mother and stepdad. They have always loved their God, and now they also love her. I think of the two women I met at work, how they stepped straight off the plane and into an Uber to their Albert Park wedding. A stranger is their only witness because they just couldn't wait another moment. The two men down the street who walk their sausage dogs each morning, smile at the neighbors, drink a cup of oat milk coffee on their white picket porch. The queer kids dancing all night, torsos slick with glitter, a crowd of swaying, sweating, writhing limbs and non-conforming bodies, how to them just being alive is protest. How I went there last night and could feel so safe in the dark, pulsing club surrounded in gay bodies and still be thinking the whole time how last week in a club just like this one, watching a drag show just like this, bullets ripped through the beautiful breathing chapel bodies, but I do not want to talk right now about queer death or bullying or statistics or suicide just this once. I want to talk about queer joy. How it feels when my partner holds me in the early hours of the morning and we gently kiss each other goodbye, get on the bus to go to work, and I pass by the chapel on Dominion Road and my body no longer burns. How it felt to sit on the stoop and drink beer with my dad and eat Brazil nuts as the sky slowly turned to ash and the drunk Tui fell from the trees.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. That was gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
And just lastly, you've got your launch party at Whammy on Thursday, the 25th of mm-hmm. July. How are you celebrating? Tell me about the night.
So, yeah, next week, Thursday, 25th of July at Whammy, we're having our launch party and it's going to be a bunch of performances. We've got one of my favourite poets, Naya Simmons, is going to be performing. And then also there's a Tuesday, the band is going to be doing some songs, an acoustic performance, and then I'll be performing poetry and it's completely free and there'll be books and drinks and community and art. And yeah, it's going to be super fun. So definitely if you're in Tamaki Makaurau next week, come along. It's free and it's going to be a really good night.
Gorgeous.
From 6 p.m.
From 6 p.m. Love it. Also, that was Jenny Rockwell speaking to me about her debut poetry collection, Vultures. The launch party is this coming Thursday, 25th of July at 6 p.m. at Whammy Bar. Jenny will be reading some of her work, as well as Naya Simmons performing poetry in an acoustic set by the band There's a Tuesday. It's free, so head along. We'll be right back after a short break. Text us in any of your thoughts, 5395. Keep it on the beat.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.